Our reading is taken out of the Epistle of Paul to the Galatians and the 6th chapter. Galatians chapter 6. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye that are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if a man think himself to be something, when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone, and not in another. For every man shall bear his own burden. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing. For in due season we shall reap, if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. The Lord add his blessing to this portion of his precious word. I really want to speak from the last two words of verse 9. Faint not. Remember, it was the other Lord's Day morning. I spoke from those words, fear not. And then I would like to add those words in Psalm 37, I think it is, mentioned three times, fret not. So we have fear not, we have faint not, and we have fret not. A threefold cord, which is not easily broken, by the way, and a cord that will bind us closer together to one another and to our Lord Jesus Christ. But I want to emphasize these words tonight, faint not. Now, the word faint is used in connection, first of all, with the body. For you remember, Jesus said, concerning the multitude that came together, he said, I will not send them away fasting, lest they faint in the way. It had been 3 days without something to eat. Consequently, the Lord felt for them, and in his kind compassion, he provided for them. So, fainting is connected with the body. Then it also is used in connection with the mind. For consider him, said the apostle, who endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be faint and wearied in your mind. As he's speaking about their strife against sin, and reminding them that they had not resisted unto blood, as did our Lord Jesus Christ. So there it's connected with the mind. Then it is also connected with the heart. But in 1 Thessalonians 5 and 14, we read these words, comfort the feeble-minded, but the Revised Version puts it more correctly, comfort the faint-hearted. And it's used in connection with the soul. And I think we have this thought in the passage before us. We have the promise. We have the condition. Well-doing is a very concise summary of our service for the Lord. And well done is the word of commendation at the end of our service for the Lord. There can be no reaping apart from the sowing. We've been reminded recently, he that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. And they that sow in tears shall reap in joy. Now we should bear in mind that there are actually three sowers at work, and the reaping will surely follow. First of all, we think of Christ as the sower. In Matthew 13, we read these words, he that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. He was the sower. We thought recently of the plowing and of the sowing and of the reaping that will surely be his in that coming day. And then secondly, another sower is Satan, and he is very busy in this work today. The enemy that sowed the tares is the devil, we are told, and is just as busy as ever today. It was while men slept that the enemy sowed the tares among the wheat. And that is the reason why Christians should be very alert and very active today, because we see the enemy is very aggressive, is losing no time in sowing the tares among the wheat. Well, we've got the finest of the wheat to sow, friends. Let us go on sowing, remembering that Satan is very, very busy. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. I remember there was a brother, he was visiting one of the prisons, and he saw a prisoner very busy with the needle and the thread. He was actually sewing mail bags, an occupation that is very often seen in some of our prisons at home. And the visitor said to the prisoner, I see you're very busy sewing. And he said, very grimly, no, sir, I'm reaping. And of course he was thinking of another sowing which he had made in the flesh. And he was reaping the consequences of it. Only this Wednesday, the magistrate is sentencing a former public official of Miami, quoted the scripture, whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. And how true it is. But then the Christian also is called upon to be a sower. He which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. And he that soweth bountifully shall also reap bountifully. There was a man, they thought him mad. The more he gave away, the more he had. Now then, let us think of this word, faint not, in this connection. I think one of the reasons for this state of things is prayerlessness. And the Lord Jesus himself made this clear when he said, men ought always to pray and not to faint. And the word ought is emphatic. We may not always feel in the mood to pray. Have you been like that? I have. That is the time we need to pray. And if the prayer soil is dry, then keep cultivating it, friends. And I'll tell you this, the showers will soon fall. God delights to be proved. And he says, prove me now. Herewith saith the Lord of hosts. And I will open the windows of heaven and pour you out such a blessing that there won't be a room to receive it. Bring therefore the whole tithe into the storehouse. You see, prayer moves the hand of him that moves the world to bring salvation down. And if Christians were more prayerful, they would be more powerful, and we would see more blessing. You see, praying prevents fainting. For they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They'll change it. It'll be the Lord's strength for theirs. They that wait upon the Lord shall change their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Power in weakness is not a contradiction in terms. The apostle said, "Why, the promise is made to me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore I would rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ might spread a tabernacle over me." That's what he meant. And when the power of Christ spreads the tabernacle over a man, it's not the man that's seen in all his weakness. It's the Christ and his power. So as I have said, it's power and weakness, and that's not a contradiction in terms. It seems we mount up with wings in worship. We run and are not weary in service. We walk and are not faint in testimony. And it seems to me that wing power gives us the gift of soaring. And we need to soar in this day when there's so much around us to cause distress and distraction. We need to rise above it all. And so instead of fainting, we'll find if we pray, we will be soaring. We'll be soaring Christians and we'll be shining Christians. Lady Asquith, who was the wife of a former prime minister, she said to a tramp who was begging for some money, you know, a tramp in the old country just wanders about the country, going into all kinds of places at all times. And she said, "How do you know which way to go?" "Well, ma'am," he said, "I always go with the wind behind my back." Well, the birds knew better than that. Well, you know that when there's any danger, the bird will turn and face the wind. It may be a hawk that's on the track of the bird, but the bird has the instinct to know if she is to rise above danger and to be sped on her way, she must face the wind. That's the reason why the pilots, I suppose, who pilot these jet airliners have learned a lesson from the wind. You'll observe that they always take off, don't they, with the wind against them. As we think of that thought, you know, after all, for a Christian, it is always good if we're going to soar, if we're going to rise in the arms of faith, if we're going to be shining Christians and soaring Christians, then we must follow this safe course and rise above the earth in our soul's experience. When that sign comes on in the plane, fasten seat belts, it is always when the plane is about to take off or when the plane is about to land. Why is that? Because apparently danger lies near the earth. It certainly is. I remember some years ago, speaking about planes, there was a very bold and daring pilot. He had a single engine plane, and he actually flew underneath the bridges, crossing over the River Thames near London. Well, that was a very, very bold thing to do. But the magistrate didn't think it was very bold. He thought it was a very dangerous procedure. And he fined him and warned him about doing the same thing again. Oh no. If we're flying too near the earth, dear friends, we're going to fly into danger. The wing life is always the best. And I believe the wise man had this in mind when he said in Proverbs 1:17, surely in vain the net is spread in the sight of everything that hath a wing. That is, of course, the margin rendering. In other words, a bird that has left the earth and a bird that is in flight will never be trapped in the net. So the eagle keeps well aloft. And Christians, we need to keep well aloft. Rise, my soul, behold this Jesus. Jesus fills thy wandering eyes. See him now in glory seated, where thy sins no more can rise. I'll tell you something else, dear friends, that when we get higher and higher and higher into the rarefied atmosphere of God's presence, there we'll have a wonderful breadth of view. You know, you who have traveled by plane, it doesn't take you very long to get into the air. It seems that you're almost going to rise above the clouds, and you happen to look down through the windows. And why? The airport just looks like a toy, doesn't it? The further you get away from the earth, the smaller things become in the vision. That is, the things of the earth. And that's the reason, my friends, we should rise and constantly keep rising and to be on the wing. And then we'll get this wonderful breadth of view of eternal things indeed. Afflictions looked from the heights always grow smaller. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. The sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. What breadth of view! Turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Mark you, sometimes it can be very bumpy at 30,000 feet as you sail through the clouds. And sometimes our passage might be a little bit bumpy, dear friends. But let us keep on soaring. There's a very happy couple, and someone said to them, because they never seemed to be troubled with afflictions or sorrows, although they had them, somebody said, well, don't you have any clouds in your life? Oh, they said with a smile, of course we do. Where do you think the blessed showers come from? They recognized that God was pleased to bring the showers out of the clouds that often engulfed them. Ye fearful saints, press courage take. The clouds ye so much dread are big with blessing and will break. Unblessing on your head. And that's the reason why I say, dear friends, we're to wait on the Lord. We're to be of good courage. God will strengthen our heart. But the reason there is so much fainting today is because of prayerlessness. Now, when a pilot is asked concerning his experience, he is not asked how long he's been a pilot. He will be asked, how many flying hours have you put in? We would not ask a Christian, how long have you been a Christian? We would say, How many praying hours have you put in? And that will be the test. Let us keep on praying. You know, we have a two-story house in Sutton Coalfield, and our telephone happens to be by the front door in what we call the hall. And more on one occasion, when I've turned in, the telephone bell rings. And I make haste, I tumble out of bed. Very often, by the way, it's a wrong number, which is rather exasperating. But I tumble out of bed, and not to being able to fly down the stairs, not being able at my time of life to slide down the banisters of the stairs, before I get to the bottom of the stairs, impatiently the caller at the other end has rung off. And I thought, well, you could have surely waited a few more seconds. And don't you think very often that is true with our prayer life? We pray, but it seems that we do not wait for the answer as we should. The answer might be no, of course. But nevertheless, it's an answer, and it's just as much an answer from God as yes. But when we put our call through, do we wait upon the Lord for the necessary answer, or are we impatient and ring up, as it were? Oh no, said the apostle, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Three alls in that verse. All prayer, all perseverance, all saints. So if there's more praying, there would be less fainting. Let us go on praying while we await the flight. What a flight that will be. When the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first, and we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore comfort one another with these words. Men ought always to pray and not to faint. Prayerlessness is one of the causes of fainting. Then secondly, I'm going to suggest inactivity in service brings about a fainting condition. I remember as a boy, if I stood for any length of time in a queue, I don't know what you call the expression a queue in this country, perhaps you call it a line, it produced a certain amount of faintness. I remember I was sent with a message to the bank, and there was quite a line before the teller. And as I stood there, I gradually began to feel myself getting faint. And I had to drop out of the line and go and sit down on a seat nearby. Now, I don't know what caused that. I've never been able to understand it. But I never felt like that when I was walking. It seemed to me that the faintness came with the inactivity. And you know, it was when Elijah was sitting underneath the juniper tree that he got into that fainting condition. He certainly wasn't fainting on Mount Carmel, was he? Oh no. But he was fainting when he was underneath the juniper tree. Oh Lord, take away my life. I'm not better than my father's. We've all been in that situation, except that somebody said there's not enough juniper trees to go round. It was when he was sitting down in the cave, in inactivity, that God said, "What doest thou here, Elijah? Arise and eat. I've got a work for you to do. I want you to anoint two kings and a prophet inactivity in service brings about a fainting condition. Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Illustration has been used concerning the potter in the East. There he is, busy away. He's treadling away with his right foot. His hands are working the pliable clay. He's making a vessel. A visitor comes along and looks at him. He sees that right foot working up and down, up and down, up and down, ceaselessly. And after he got through with molding the vessel, the visitor said to him, "My, that foot of yours must get tired." He said, "Friend, the strange thing is this. It's not the right foot that gets tired, but it's the foot that does nothing that gets tired." And I can enter into that, dear friends. And very often you'll find that those who are active in the service of the Lord are those who seem to be the least tired. And those who do nothing for the Lord, they're the ones that get tired so easily. And they're the ones that begin to criticize and find fault with those who aren't doing the work. Faintness comes through inactivity in service. We've been speaking of flying tonight, and let us never forget there's groundwork to be done too. And groundwork is most important, for without the refueling, without the oiling, the plane will never rise. And so somebody said, let us be very, very careful as to not to be so heavenly minded as to be no earthly good. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know your labor is not in vain in the Lord. It is recorded out of the life of Sadhu, the missionary, that he and a national were going over the mountains of Tibet in the winter. It was a terrible journey. The snow was falling, and as it fell, it froze. And those two men, they wondered whether they would get to their destination. They seemed to be half frozen already. But they stumbled on. And as they went on, they came across a man who had fallen in the snow. He was unconscious. He was half frozen. And he was almost dead. Sadhu's kind heart was touched. And he said to his national companion, he said, "We must try and take this man along with us, see what we can do." And of course the national refused absolutely. He said, "Why, man, it will take us all we can do to save our own lives." And he went on. And Sadhu could not go on. And with great difficulty, he lifted up that dead weight of a burden and got it across his shoulder. And then slowly but surely he stumbled on. But the extra burden created more warmth in his body. And that warmth was transmitted to that frozen object across his shoulders. And he still went on. And as they went on, they saw the dead body of the national who refused to help in time of need, frozen to death. It's so wonderful to know that the warmth of Sadhu's body caused by the extra exertion so warmed that man, by the time they actually reached the village, he had regained consciousness, and they both made it. When I read that, I was reminded of the words of the Lord Jesus. He said, "Whosoever will save his life shall lose it. That was the national. But whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall find it. That was Sadhu. What a lesson to learn, dear friends. Let us be more active in our service of the Lord. And in due season we shall reap if we faint not. But thirdly, I'm going to suggest another reason for faintness is unbelief. And I want to illustrate this in the connection with Jacob of old. You remember the sons of Jacob came to him and said, oh, what wonderful news it was. Joseph is yet alive. And he is governor over all the land of Egypt. What was the reaction of Jacob? Jacob's heart fainted, for he believed them not. Now, isn't that an amazing thing? There's a human tendency to believe a lie and not the truth. When those same boys came to him years previous and said, is this be thy son's coat? You remember how they dipped it in the blood of a goat. It was a deliberate lie on their part. It is recorded that when he saw it, he said, an evil beast hath devoured him. Without doubt. Without doubt, he said. He is torn to pieces. Now, that's an amazing fact. When they came to him with a lie, he swallowed it, as we would say today, hook, line, and sinker. But when they came to him with the truth, he believed them not. Well, that's the tendency today, isn't it? And you know the day is coming when there'll be many in this world who will believe the lie. And the reason why they will believe the lie is because they receive not the love of the truth that they might be saved. Oh, well, we know the rest of the story, don't we? He had ears and eyes. He heard the words of Joseph, and he saw the wagons. Ah, he said, it is enough. Joseph, my son, is yet alive. I will go and see him before I die. Oh, all the folly of unbelief. Mary is weeping outside the tomb. The disciples are seeking the body of Jesus, but not the risen Christ. Although he had clearly stated to them that he would rise again the third day. Oh, the folly of unbelief. Ah, but they saw the wagons. Shall I say, the material evidence that he was alive? When they looked into the tomb and they saw those grave clothes, what was the particular interesting about those grave clothes? Why, there wasn't one single grain of spice, and there was 100 weight, you remember, wrapped in those folds, displaced. They observed how those grave clothes, how they lay, absolutely flat with the weight of 100 pounds of spice, or, yes, of the spices. And yet, dear friends, they were saying, why? The body has been stolen away. Well, that's an absolute impossibility, because there is the proof in the grave clothes that the body had been taken out of the grave clothes, not the grave clothes taken from the body. Well, had the grave clothes been taken from the body, and the body stolen, then they would be in confusion, and spice would be scattered or crossed the floor of the tomb. They saw the evidence of the resurrection of Christ. They saw the wagons. But they also heard his words. Oh, how wonderful. We take Mary, for instance. There she is, still weeping. Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? She's supposing him to be the gardener. Said, sir, if thou hast borne him, hence tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. Mary, she heard his word. She didn't say, sir, now. She said, Rabboni, my supreme master. You remember the disciples were gathered in fear within those closed doors in the upper room. And Jesus appeared in the midst. Peace be unto you. Peace be unto you as my Father hath sent me, even so send I you. They had seen the wagons, and now they heard his words. You see, faith is taking God at his word. Faith steps into the seeming void and finds the impregnable rock underneath. And faith is the great cordial, shall I say, for fainting. So that we can say, it is enough. Jesus, my Savior, is yet alive. I will go and see him before I die. Well, we are not expecting to die, are we? We're going to see him. And it may be we've bypassed death altogether. For the sky, not the grave, is our goal. Somebody said to a dear sister, would you rather die and go to be with the Lord? Or would you rather that the Lord came and fetched you? She said, well, sir, whichever came first. And I think that was a very good answer. Let us listen to his words in the meantime. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Let us hear these words continually. And let us see the invisible wagons loaded fully with his blessing. Blessed be the Lord, who daily loadeth us with benefits, even the God of our salvation. Faint not. Do not lose courage. If thou faint in the day of adversity, thy strength is small. I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. We believe to see. That's faith. You see, it's just the opposite with the worldling. He wants to see in order to believe. How they taunted him as he hung there upon that central cross. They said, let Christ, the King of Israel, descend from the cross, and we will see and believe. The world wants to see in order to believe, because they walk by sight and not by faith. It's just the opposite for the Christian. Blessed are they who have not seen and yet have believed. Well, no wonder men's hearts are failing them for fear and looking after those things that are coming on the earth. They're looking in the wrong direction. That's the reason why their hearts are fainting and why they are fearful and full of distress. The Christian is looking in another direction. He's not looking for the things that are coming on the earth. He is looking for the Lord from heaven. Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the Creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increaseth strength. What a wonderful scripture that is. You know, there's a hymn that goes something, I think it's God moves in a mysterious way, isn't it? Judge not the Lord by feeble sense. Trust him for his grace. Behind a frowning providence, he hides a smiling face. And I remember one of our hymn books had very small print, and there was a dear brother who couldn't see very well. And he used to sing, judge not the Lord by feeble saints. Not by feeble sense. Well, we're not going to judge the Lord by feeble saints. No. He is always honored by the strong ones, not the faint ones. And his power flows through them. And when his power flows through his people, there'll be no fear. There'll be no fainting. There'll be no fretfulness. What did we read when God delivered his people from Egypt? There was not one feeble person among their tribes. And that should be evident today, that same power among his people. Fret not, faint not, and fear not. Let us pray. O God, our Father, we do indeed thank thee for the privilege of coming to Hallelujah again and for the privilege of passing on a few thoughts from thy word. We do confess that very often we do fear and we do faint. Very often we pass through a time of fretfulness. But you know, it is all really because of unbelief. If we lay hold of thee more in prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, we know that this would be the best antidote against these things that so often assail our Christian experience. Grant that we may be more prayerful. And we'll be less fretful. Grant that we may be more prayerful and we'll be less fearful. Grant that we may be more prayerful and there will be less fainting in our experience. Oh, thou dost give power to the faint, and we thank thee for this. We have to acknowledge that apart from our Lord Jesus, we are a feeble crowd. We are faint-hearted, but oh, how wonderful to know this, that without him we can do nothing. It is perfectly true, but with him we can do anything. When his power is flowing through us in the energy of his Spirit, coming right down from the throne above, right to the very throne room of our heart. So may we go forth tonight encouraged with these short words re-echoing in our souls continually. Fear not, faint not, and fret not. Again, we remember those who have been mentioned in hospital. We thank thee for the privilege of visiting this afternoon, and we do pray that these dear ones may soon be raised back to a measure of health and strength, if it be thy will. We commend them into thy loving care and keeping for thy continual help. Remember our brother Elliot as he goes off to Key West this coming weekend. We thank thee for the help he will be able to give to the few saints in that assembly. We pray that he might have travelling mercies to and fro. Bless his family and also bless his ministry. And we know it will be a great source of encouragement and help to that assembly at this time. So take our thanks. We thank thee for the privilege we've had again tonight of coming and speaking to thee and to listening to thy voice speaking to us through the pages of thy precious holy word. In his worthy and precious name we give thee thanks. Amen.